Around the NFL Podcast. Manages Ricky's DMs.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis. I'm joined in a conference room filled with some heroes. All the heroes are coming back together. Chris Wessling and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
We are on day three of Sessler Watch.
Sessler Watch.
Wait, what is this?
Sort of like Bigfoot.
Yeah, I think Wes and I were both a little bit, because I was out of pocket 4th of July weekend, as were you, Wes. So when Mark wasn't here this week, there was some nerves about the idea that he's followed through on that. You know how he's talked about, when I leave, I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I could pack up and be gone forever.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in weeks, is all I'm saying. And nobody's seen him in weeks.
He texted us, though. He let us know that he would be locked in through May once he's back.
Exactly.
Maybe. Maybe he's back. We're here in conference room 150B at NFL Media Headquarters as we continue our nomad journey with the studio, podcast studio under construction. I believe this is the conference room, boys, where we came close to getting fired for under previous management for something on the show, which we can't really get into. Mm. But this was the room, right?
I believe so, yeah. I've had a lot of great memories in this room, a lot of meetings,
a lot of
8 o'clock meetings, but I believe you're right.
I think it was the sternest talking to I've had in my adult life.
Yes, we can't get into details, but I will tell you this, that this particular management figure had a transcript of a podcast episode typed out and dropped in front of us to
like
go over
deposition.
Line by line.
He had someone on the desk type it up, right?
He sure did.
This is the room that Greg and Dan interviewed me in.
That's right. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a historic place, 150B.
Yeah, and then we didn't hire you.
Yeah,
it's like on the Register of Historic Monuments.
I was already hired at that point.
Everything ended up the way it should, though.
Right.
After a colossal mistake.
Yes.
Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. Fun show coming up today. Yes, I'm assuming Mark will be back, maybe as soon as Monday, and then we'll all be back together.
Well, I'm actually gone next week. I had emailed everyone, so yeah, I'm gone again.
Is this the season where the commitment, we just kind of fall off and we never do a show as a
No, I think it's finally the season where we're getting smart. We're getting older. We see what other people are doing. And the season starts with training camp, which is this year. It's kind of Monday the 21st is the unofficial.
Right.
So I'm taking off. I'm going to Massachusetts as much as possible.
Go. That's nice. Springfield?
No.
Vineyard.
Oh, yeah. Boston for half of it,
Take
actually.
Us through the vineyard. When you go to the vineyard, what goes down?
Well, I'll be in Boston with my friend Dave for 3 or 4 days.
Boston Dave.
Going to a Red Sox game, see some friends.
See the Sox.
And then, yeah, my parents and my brother live year-round on the vineyard now. My parents moved there when I was 25 or so.
The question is, when do you go full-time?
Never.
Never?
I'm never living in Massachusetts again. It's too cold.
Wow.
I get that.
Not for Dave.
Coming up in today's show, it is the return of an annual summertime tradition. You know, there's a finite number of superstars in the NFL, and every year I try to update who are the true superstars in the league, who will become a superstar, who will fall out of the superstar ranks. It's a zero-sum game, the 2019 Superstar Club, and this is also going to be a piece on NFL.com. I'm working on it as we speak. We're working on it before the show. We'll finish it up, polish it off after the show, send it on to Ali Bonpuri, our features content editor. So I'm going to use you gentlemen, you geniuses of football, to help me if I go too adrift.
Can I ask a question about your process here?
Take me. Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Is there a factor of, say, like marquee name recognition in addition to how well you've played on the field?
I think so. I think charisma and your ability to put meat in the seats and live at the top of a headline stack, those type of things matter, I think, when you're talking about superstars.
Hmm.
But that's not all that matters. You know, it's not all about the name. The game is huge as well, at least with my superstar list. That answer your question.
That was a great answer. That's about what I expected.
Before we get to that, though, let's hit a little bit of news.
You're not God or my father or my boss.
That man belongs in an institution.
One of my favorite viral videos in a long time. Greg, I know you were on a flight back from Japan. You might have missed all of this.
No, I caught it when I got back.
Okay. Bagel Bros on Long Island, just a sea of people in mesh shorts, and then a tiny man having a conniption over...
Don't call him tiny.
Yeah, I don't. A five-foot man that just went nuts because he's, I guess, upset that women have laughed at him his whole life, and it led to him getting tackled in a bagel shop in Long Island.
There are more videos that have been released since then.
Really?
Like in other situations, like at a convenience store.
Same guy?
He called the police because the clerk in the convenience store asked him how tall he was.
Wait, the same guy has different
the
videos?
Same bagel guy. And he went
this
off.
This man's a menace.
He is a menace.
Right. I mean, he's got to look in the mirror. It's not your height. It's your creepy personality.
Yes.
I mean, I've been living pretty short my whole life. You got to make it up for it. In other
you
areas.
Tower over this guy, I think.
But it doesn't matter. No one would like this guy if he was 6 foot one.
This
He's
guy
a creep.
Calls Greg Shade Tree.
Imagine if he was 6 foot one. He would be one of the great dangers of society. So he's a little man with a big chip on his shoulder. Check it out if you haven't already. All right, let's get to the news. On what usually is a sleepy time in the NFL calendar, we had a bit of a seismic earthquake. Anybody here for the earthquake, by the way? Nobody.
No, we all missed it.
We all missed two earthquakes in L.A. last week, and we all missed it. But, okay, still going to keep moving into the news. Melvin Gordon, he wants to get paid by the Los Angeles Chargers, and he's willing to get serious if the Chargers won't get serious with him. Gordon informed the Bolts that unless he receives a new contract, he will demand a trade and will not report to training camp. NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reported the Chargers veterans are due to report to camp on July 24th. Demarius Bilbo, that's a name, one of the agents that reps Gordon, told NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport that the running back is serious about holding out. Here's what Bilbo said. Bilbo, he's very serious. He's worked his butt off, and the fifth-year option is a result of where he was drafted. It's what it is, but if we'd gotten a respectable offer, we wouldn't be here, but he felt disrespected. He's very serious. Gordon is entering the fifth and final year of his rookie contract. He wants that security. 26 years old. Greg, I know you're groggy. How was Japan,
by the way? I'm feeling great.
Yeah,
you look
good.
I slept well.
Dentist,
it's all good.
Deep gums cleaning.
Deep cleaning. The left side of my face is a little numb right now. So if I
but I'm going to tell you up.
Drunk, that's why.
On the first news story. And 26 years old, some injury history. We just saw what happened with the other L.A. football team with Todd Gurley signing a big deal. Are the Chargers going to seriously entertain giving out a multi-year contract extension to a running back in today's climate?
Well, they sound like they gave an offer, and it wasn't enough for Melvin Gordon. And if I were them, I wouldn't break the bank for him. I mean, I like having Melvin Gordon on that. And I love Melvin Gordon. I've defended him on this podcast. I think he's a really good running back. But I like having them in that first 5 years where you're getting 1,500 yards from scrimmage instead of paying them a huge contract. This is one where I would call his bluff because he's made about $10 million in his first four seasons. That's pretty good. But he's set to make five more this year. Is he really going to skip those huge paychecks? I don't think so. And if he did miss a game or two, they'd be okay, I think, with Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson. I would call his bluff.
The running back market is sort of like how the quarterback market has been. There's no middle class. You've got Gurley, Lev Bell, and David Johnson making around $13 to $15 million a year. And then you've got like Devontae Freeman, LeSean McCoy, and Jerick McKinnon more in the $8 million a year range. So I'm guessing Gordon wants closer to the Gurley Bell range. And I think the difference between him and Bell was on the franchise tag. Gordon, if he sits out the entire year, his contract just rolls over to next year.
Right. There's no way he would skip those paychecks. And there's no way, if I'm the Chargers, that I would give him anything close to a Todd Gurley deal. I really like Gordon, but I think running backs, the smart way to do it, I think, is to actually to for a while, everyone thought never draft one in the first round. I don't know. Drafting one in the middle, late first round, early second round, that's where you found a lot of good players recently, and that rookie contract is so cheap compared to what you have to pay in free agency.
I've been a little surprised at the outrage for this on Twitter, that everybody is saying running backs need to get paid. He should sit out the year. Like, why would anybody root for the owners? You got to pay this player. And to me, it's like you – Michael Lewis said football is a tightly strung economy. If you take away something, if you try to double team or triple team Aaron Donald, somebody else is going to have a much easier game. The salary cap's the same way. If you're paying too much for a running back, you're not paying other positions.
There's two players too connected, obviously, as running backs. Le'Veon Bell, he stated famously last year, I'm holding out, I'm sitting out this year to help my fellow running back, which, you know, you could believe that if you want. I never quite did. The other player, as we mentioned, Gurley. And it stinks, but Gurley, who actually did get paid, immediately we find out of the arthritic knee condition, that kind of sets back running backs again, because there's this very high-profile case of a superstar running back who gets paid and then his body breaks down or appears to be breaking down. I would be stunned if the Chargers go any other route than just playing out his rookie contract and then to the tag if necessary.
They know him better than anyone, and Gordon's been up and down in his career. I don't think they look at Melvin Gordon as a consistent leader of their team necessarily, someone that they have to keep in the building, and they have a ton of other free agents coming up next year. I mean, Bosa is going to be coming up. Rivers is coming up. A lot of their great defense is going to be coming up, so I think they have other people on the team that they're going to be prioritizing.
Natural selection is a bitch. You know, it was 10 years ago that slot corners and slot receivers weren't getting any money, and now they get paid more than running backs, and running backs are left at, you know, on the small side of that, just like fullbacks. Things become extinct. It happens. It's the way of the world.
Moms and dads, have your kids play quarterback or wide receiver?
I mean, that would be smart, right?
Wes, let's move on. Tell me your thoughts on the tradition in Spain running of the bulls, Pamplona. What are your? I'm curious what your thoughts are about it.
It's delightful. It's a delightful tradition, and good for Josh Norman.
You never know with Wes. He could go either way.
Carpe diem, baby. And, you know, one of my favorite novels is The Sun Also Rises by Hemingway. And it's interesting to me that Josh Norman is both older and more famous than Hemingway was when he wrote The Sun Also Rises.
Interesting. Josh Norman, the Redskins cornerback, fulfilled a dream, he said, by taking part in the running of the bulls in Pamplona, Spain. Pamplona?
Yes.
There's a video that went viral before Twitter shut down, which everybody's freaking out about. Twitter down for an hour Thursday at some point. But before that happened, being passed all over the information superhighway, a video showing Norman leaping over a bull inside a bull ring during the event. So it's inside a bull ring. It's not like in the streets, the cobble streets, where people are getting gored, which five people got gored in the first day of this event this year. It happens every year. The only thing I was thinking is a lot of these pro contracts have worked in. You can't even play pickup basketball.
Right.
And Josh Norman, by the way, this is the most impressive thing I've seen him do athletically in like 3 or 4 years now. Jumping over the bull. If I am the Redskins, Doug Williams is passing out. I mean, anybody involved with that front office is just got to be very upset. Or maybe they're like, oh, maybe this will get us out of the contract. I don't know.
I looked at the crowd, and I'm pretty confident that Josh Norman is the only one who could jump over a bull.
I mean, he didn't just clear the bull.
Oh, he cleared it with a foot to spare.
It was very impressive. I will give him that. I had to face the bull straight on, he said. It was fun. It was worth it. It was really worth it. Last time we talked about stuff like this, I think it was Rex Ryan during his late period Jets run did the same thing. Also not gored. So a happy ending.
He jumped over
not
the ball?
Not athletic either, though.
What if Frank Gore tries it?
If Gore got gored, that would be wild. Sad. Wild. All right. Finally in the news, some serious news. Former Tennessee Titans defensive tackle Albert Haynesworth suffering from kidney failure. And he logged onto social media, Instagram, to be specific, to announce that he is, quote, in dire need of a donor. He wrote a message that my kidneys failed this past week on July 7th. It's hard to believe from being a professional athlete to only 8 seasons in retirement that my body has taken another major blow. He's referring to a brain aneurysm he suffered about 5 years ago. Now his kidneys have failed him, and he is desperate for a transplant. Very sad story. Haynesworth, of course, came into the league, University of Tennessee star, then was a all-pro for the Titans, one of the best defensive tackles in football, then became something of a punchline as being a hideous long-term signing by the Redskins. But he had a lot of talent. Work ethic was an issue, but now he's dealing with something way more serious than anything ever on the football field.
People don't like to be told that they have to part with their money. But if you are suffering and you are having major health problems, people will part with their money to help you out.
That's what's happening in the news. All right, let's get to it. Ricky, by the way, I want to say that the Shield moved to 9-2 with another convincing win on Wednesday night. And Ricky Hollywood starting, playing 7 innings behind the plate, had 2 hits, hitting the ball hard all night. Really starting to come into yourself a little bit.
Hit a good double right to end the night.
Modern-day Rich Gedman.
Yes.
Rich Gedman. I see a little Matt Noakes.
I don't get the reference. Gedman
was former Red Sox, you know, World Series participant, I believe.
Probably made an All-Star game or two.
Okay, I'll take it.
It's not a great compliment. It's not.
I hit a great slammer.
You know what? You know what BABIP is?
Yeah.
Batting average on balls in play?
Yeah.
Shows you kind of how lucky and unlucky you are. You were very unlucky when it came to BABIP last night because you were hitting the
you
ball hard.
You were hitting
hard.
It hard.
Yeah.
And tell you what, the coaching staff's watching that. When you start to turn it on late in the regular season.
This is the coaching staff right here.
When you turn
Dan
it on
West.
Late in the regular season.
That's important.
That's going to lead to playoff PT. It's a very crowded depth chart behind the plate. And I think this little Missy might be getting some big plate appearances when
it
counts.
It's the lone position on the roster that goes too deep, and it actually goes about 6 deep.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but you're going to want those at-bats in the playoff games. After all the work you've put in, that's exciting time, and that's money time. It sounds like you're earning it.
I know it's easy to just put, you know, like a crappy girl behind the plate because then they don't have to catch, but I like covering home, and I'm not worried if you're whipping it. Like, I'm not worried
you
about...
You got to put out, too.
Yeah, I'm not worried to step up to the plate and knock someone out. It's more of, like, the running for the pop flies that, like, I'm hit or miss sometimes.
Lakeisha Wessling almost came to blows with the opposing catcher.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen your wife more angry. And now that you're married to that woman, I would suggest you do not get on Lakeisha's bad side.
Wes defended her.
In a substantial way.
Wes?
Well, the catcher was out of line.
Way out of
line. The other team's catcher was way out of line, like a small-town sheriff trying to control the game.
She was out of
order.
Let
the umpire do his job, lady.
What did she say? What was she getting on Keisha?
Keisha was asking – there was a little back and forth about some of the rules, and Keisha was asking me a question about 10 feet away for clarification, and Rabbit Ears behind the plate was like – and jumped down Lakeisha's throat.
And then Lakeisha started – screaming through the fence, and then all of a sudden Wes turns around and goes, "This is a conversation between husband and wife."
See, I always thought you were a Southern guy, Wes. That's a very Southerner expression there in that situation.
And that's the first of 330 times Wes will say that in his life.
Well, I got to back the next time, and she said something to me, the catcher did.
Whoa!
And I said, first of all, you owe my wife an apology, and you were way out of line.
Yeah, it was
and
well
she agreed to it. That is she apologized after the game.
Good husband work, and I hope I'm not going out of bounds in saying that at the watering hole after the softball game, Lakeisha made it clear that Wes would be properly reimbursed for being such a great husband.
evening. She bought me flowers.
Yeah. Okay. Superstar Club 2019. It's a tradition on the .com and on this podcast. I go through the league. I try to find players that have now, Wes,
can I add one more piece of news just to get Greg's opinion on a fantasy football situation?
Oh, yes, wow. I'd love you to jump in with that. Go
well,
ahead.
Andy Reid came out very strong in favor of Damian Williams as his full-time starter for the year at running back. He's taken the challenge, Reid said. He wants to do this. He's earned it to be the guy. Greg, in that offense,
brick by brick,
we're not talking about a special talent, but he can play all 3 downs. He's good in the passing game.
I think he's pretty talented, too.
Do you have to consider him in the first round, don't you?
No. I was gonna
in
say,
that
tell,
offense?
I was gonna say, tell me where he's getting drafted, because I feel like everyone's just gonna dismiss.
This is a teaser for the fantasy extravaganza.
Dismiss.
I like it.
Hey, when Priest Holmes was a late season sensation, people weren't drafting him in the first round the next year either because he was undrafted.
That was a little different. That was a little different. Damian Williams, you hear coaches talk about like guys that have kind of earned the next chance like this in June, July sometimes. Right now, he's getting taken 21st overall. Yeah, I would take him before that.
Yep.
But I'd be a little worried that offense, every running back looks good. He's talented, though. He's not for someone that's been bounced around, when you watch him, you're like, why did he bounce around? He makes people miss on his own, but he's never been the guy and had that kind of workload.
Well, I remember, guys, they have a little bit of a Monte Ball factor. Like, he's never done it before, so if you're drafting this guy just based on the offense, you do have to worry about something like that. Is he talented enough to keep the job and keep all comers away from his spot all year?
I feel a little weird, though, having this fantasy conversation here without Mark.
This is where I'd throw it to the corner,
right?
Of course, and he would have some takes and be in great danger at the same time. Yes, the fantasy extravaganza. Yeah, the whole thing, the wheel is spinning. It's a cycle, and before you know it, we'll be doing our annual fantasy extravaganza.
You know who we should get on again this year?
The Big Fish.
The Big Fish. Evan Silva, he's moved on past Roto-World. Talk about a guy who really built Roto-World. Big,
yeah.
Right, Vic. He's moved on.
He put the plaster on. He put in the studs.
Spackle.
Spackled the place, painted it. He built the guest house.
He's got his own website now, establishetherun.com. So we got to get him on to hear what's going on.
We'll check in with the Big Fish. All right, let's get to it. Damian Williams, my first superstar, so we'll get right into it. No, Damian Williams, not yet, but perhaps. So anyway, what the Superstar Club is, zero-sum game. I'm going to bring a guy that's an established player. Very rarely will I put in someone with no background. Last year, I did pretty well. I did take Andrew Luck out of the Superstar Club with a caveat that I would regret it probably, and I did. And I put Carson Wentz in, and that didn't work out. But overall, I had a good run last year. Let me just bring up my list from last year. Bear with me. All right. So, yes, I kind of botched that one. But I had Devontae Adams in, Jordy Nelson out. That was a winner. Michael Thomas in, Dez Bryant out. That was a winner. Alvin Kamara in, LeSean McCoy out. That was a winner. Saquon Barkley in, Marshawn Lynch out. That was a winner. So not bad last year.
Not bad at
all.
But
I'm gonna take some bigger chances here, some controversial moves.
Is Larry Fitzgerald still in the Superstar Club?
He's out. He was out a couple years ago.
Okay.
He was out a couple years ago. And I was actually, when I was looking to take out a wide receiver, because that is tough to do, I thought about Larry, and I was like, that sounds familiar. I think I dumped Larry before, so I would not do it again. We'll start at the quarterback position, though, gentlemen. And you know that I'm a big Deshaun Watson fan. And I thought last year was a big step forward for him coming back from the ACL. I think he's going to be even better. I hope Will Fuller gets all the way back from his ACL as well. Was it an ACL for Fuller as well?
I believe it was.
Yeah. But with DeAndre Hopkins there, and I'm assuming the offensive line will be better. It could not be any worse. I thought that Watson was just stellar last year, both running the football, throwing the football, and I think he's going to get even better. You got to cut down on the sacks. That's not all the offensive line's fault. He has to be better there as well. But I think Watson in year three, still just 23 years old, could be a guy that is someone that can carry an organization to a Super Bowl. Not necessarily this team, but he ascends to that level. You guys okay with Deshaun Watson ascending to the Superstar Club?
I have no issues with that, and I think it's past time to keep doubting Deshaun Watson. I think he's proven to be a quite exceptional, really.
I'm surprised that he's not a bigger star now. Maybe that's from being in Houston. Maybe just the injury, the way the rookie season happened, and then the influx last year of the great rookie class, which got so much attention. But I think those extra snaps that Watson's had, that he's already come back from an injury like that, gives him an edge over those guys. So I like that. I think he has a better chance than the class of 2018 rookies to do it. And I'm surprised they're not. I'm looking now. They're not really in prime time that much. I guess they get that first Monday night, but that's kind of a strange one against the Saints.
I feel like they play like 14 times on Thursday Night Football every year.
Yeah, they've got
the Titans.
They've got a Thursday nighter against the Colts. They've got one Sunday night, which could be moved, but that's week 13. So I guess that's three. That's medium respect. But I think Watson at some point in his career, because he's so electric, is going to be the type of player you put in primetime five times.
I want to know who you're taking out.
That's where it gets tough. Because
it is tough.
Let me tell you something.
They never get old anymore.
I really wanted to put Baker in as well.
I thought about that.
But I could not justify taking out a second quarterback because it was hard enough to take out one. So it became, am I putting in Baker or Deshaun? I chose Deshaun. Baker could make me look bad. We'll see. Now, I have to take somebody out. All right, here are my options. Okay. Am I going to take out Carson Wentz? No, I'm not. Am I going to take out Drew Brees? No, I can't do that. Big Ben? No, can't do that. Russell Wilson can't do that. One guy can take
out. I think I know where
you're
going.
Is this about your fantasy football grudge?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
There's one guy I can take out. And it's not, you're going to think it's me being personal, but I'm going to take Tom Brady out of the Superstar Club.
No, I mean, it makes sense. He just won a Super Bowl with one of the great playoff runs in the AFC of his life, scoring what was it, 40 points against the Chargers and then 38 against the Chiefs. Basically needed a touchdown to go to the Super Bowl and gets it.
Right, they didn't play the Chargers, did they?
Yeah,
the game before.
They dropped like 40 on them, a supposedly great defense.
Well, guess what? No Gronk anymore, and statistically, that offense is so much worse without him. They're a big dip, touchdowns, yards, completion percentage, yards per attempt. And he's gone forever, at least until November
late
December.
Even with Gronk last year, statistically, Brady was right in the middle of the pack among starting quarterbacks.
So this is not one of the old Zeuser shots at Tom Brady. I need to make a cut. And if you guys can make a case for someone else.
I thought you might have gone Phillip Rivers. Is he in the Superstar Club?
I don't have him in the Superstar Club personally. But okay. Cam Newton I thought about, but last year I got burned by taking a Superstar out because of a bum shoulder with Luck. I'm leaving Cam where he is. So I took out Tom. I still think Brady is a guy that could be a star. He can win a Super Bowl again, but I just think it's a new generation of quarterbacks.
Well, if he wins a Super Bowl, then you're wrong. I know it's like, oh, wins don't matter and all that, and I get that too.
You don't have to be a superstar quarterback to win a Super Bowl. We've seen that before. Joe Flacco's not a superstar. Eli Manning's not a superstar.
But if Tom Brady
won a Dilfer's not a superstar.
If Tom Brady won a Super Bowl by dint of being Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback who's ever lived, and you know, had two of his best seasons of his career in the last 3 years,
he was good last year. He wasn't great.
Right.
This is a run heavy team.
I agree. Last year I think he was like on the edge of a top 10 quarterback in the regular season. Had two of his best.
Down.
I think it's gotten almost forgotten, though, because the Super Bowl was so ugly and the regular season wasn't great, that he lit the Chargers up like they were little bitches coming off of that Ravens
game. But that's what the Chargers do in January. So
that's
it doesn't matter who it was.
But you get credit
be.
For it. You get credit for scoring 40 points in the divisional round, and you get credit for having a sensational game in the AFC Championship when they needed him to score all
that. Do
you
believe, let me ask you this question. It's as simple as can be. Tom Brady in 2019, do you think he'll perform at a superstar level for a quarterback?
The superstar word is what's confusing of all.
Well, you
this.
Know,
can he
it
be
is.
Like
it's
a top
football fan,
top seven or eight quarterback? Yes, I think he can.
I think he's right on the line, bro. And I'm just going to put
him
on the other
side.
He's
kind of on the line. I'll buy it.
All right, so that's the quarterback. And again,
but it's like he's bringing all those other intangibles of being a superstar too.
I mean, married to a supermodel.
He is the superstar that the NFL has right now.
But it's got to end at some time. This is. Yep. Hashtag gradual decline. This is the year. This is when it happens. I feel it in my bones.
We said that last November.
He started gradually declining last year. I'll buy that.
Okay, let's move out of the quarterback and Baker Mayfield. Mark, I know you're listening. I would love to put him in. I just couldn't take someone else out. All right. I just couldn't do it. All right.
I mean, I'd put if it comes down to it, I love Cam Newton. I'd take Cam out for Baker just because I like Baker so much.
Baker's definitely got the sizzle factor.
He's got the sizzle. That matters. That matters.
We'll see, though. You know, it's only rookie year.
Yeah.
Worst things have happened.
Better team around him.
All right, here we go. Running back position. You know, Greg, it still sticks in my craw the way you slandered Christian McCaffrey about a month ago on our podcast.
We
called him a homeless man's Alvin Kamara, I believe. Something along those lines.
Wow. I did not
You
say
did.
That.
You had some critical things to say comparing Christian McCaffrey to Alvin Kamara, who's your boy in Tulane and the Saints. I get all that.
It has nothing to do with that.
He walks home from the game, from the Superdome, probably walks past the bars I used to go to. I get all that, Greg.
If you asked, I think, 32 general managers who they'd rather have, they'd all say Kamara, including the Panthers.
Now, let me say this.
I agree.
In 2018, I put Alvin Kamara in the Superstar Club. So I'm not
you're
saying...
You're right. Yeah. You're right.
I'm just saying Christian McCaffrey, it's his time now to head into that Superstar Club. Did you know that he was rested in Week 17? He played in 97% of Carolina's snaps.
Wow.
Last season, which just...
Before that, right?
It doesn't happen leading into Week 17.
Remember when we were asking if he could run between the tackles?
I mean, this guy, he was first on the team in targets, rushing attempts up to 219. He had 107 catches, almost 900 yards. He's definitely a threat to join that Roger Craig 1,000 club. His yards per carry went up from 3.7 to 5 last year. He's 23 years old. He is the guy. You want to talk about guys to invest in a long-term contract at running back? No injury history the way Melvin Gordon with the knees or anything. This guy is locked and loaded, a superstar. I'm putting him in the club. Anybody got an issue?
No, I love this pick.
No. And even though I don't remember what I said, I was just comparing him to Kamara. I like this. I mean, he's already got the numbers. And now that he – once you do it twice, you know, he's a good-looking young man. He's now dating Danny Amendola's
Is that confirmed now?
Ex-girlfriend. I don't know. That's what Rick said.
Yes.
It's confirmed.
And then so, Danny tweeted yesterday, like, I told you so, period.
So he's kind of like...
Told her what? Told who what?
Remember his, like, outburst? He was, like, hearing all these rumors, and then TMZ posted 2 days or yesterday, Olivia and Christian McCaffrey kissing holding hands.
It's not a good... It's just not a good way to be,
no,
Danny. You're making yourself look worse.
Spiraling.
It's a terrible...
But it makes sense, too, because McCaffrey... is kind of the next, you know, he's the new boy band member. It's like Amendola tried to be. It's like, Amendola, how about you gain more than 700 yards in a regular season once in your career?
Wow, the guy leaves New England and Greg starts slandering
him. To be that big of a superstar. McCaffrey, on their other hand, he's got numbers up as, you know what?
McCaffrey's nickname isn't playoff.
Up as what?
I don't know. I'm just saying he's got enough yards for three Danny Amendola seasons.
That's fair.
He's more than enough man. You know, a better man, perhaps, in a lot of ways. Ricky, yes or no?
I don't know. With these social media outbursts and all this kind of stuff, it's really kind of taking a toll.
Ooh, interesting.
Really?
It's just a bad look. And on the bottom of our rundown, there's a picture of me and my babe.
Is he tumbling down the rankings?
No, not looks-wise.
But you're second-guessing.
Like, yeah, personality-wise, it's sort of like, ugh.
It's a little needy.
I don't know if it's...
he's even lost his nickname. They're calling him Philip Playoffs Dorsett now. Really great. Had some big catches.
Well,
Dorsett.
In our,
I don't think
in
there's
our
any danger of that
group
happening.
Chat yesterday with me, Eddie Spaghetti, Emma VP, and Sully, we are arguing yesterday, and I apparently am the only one that thinks Danny is better looking than Christian McCaffrey. Emma said that she would take me down 100% that I'm so wrong, that Christian McCaffrey is way hotter, which is just so wrong. I think it looks like he got his face smashed on a door.
Who?
Wow.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, you're out of line. You're out of bounds. You're out of bounds.
Take it back.
Cut that mic for 5 minutes. All right. Okay, so McCaffrey, and this is tough as well. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people are going to be, you know, get crazy and say, take Todd Gurley out. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Ooh, I thought that's where you're going.
It's just too on the nose and too off-season headline-y just to bury the guy. So I'm going to keep him there out of respect because I think he's that great a player. Then I was thinking David Johnson. It's, you know, he's only truly had one great year.
Yep.
And I really do like David Johnson, and I do like the idea of him getting back on track with Cliff Kingsbury and all that stuff. So I'm going to leave David in there. So I kind of took an easy way out, and I took out a former rushing champion who is disgraced. For some issues off the field, and now is with a fresh start with the Cleveland Browns, Kareem Hunt.
Was he ever in the Superstar Club?
I don't know. He's a rushing champion, an electric playmaker.
You already took Shady McCoy out?
Shady was out last year.
Okay.
Now, if you're telling me I can't do that, if that's too easy.
It's a little easy.
Well, I just think Hunt was, what, a third-round pick who had, you know, kind of burst on the scene and definitely had a great year. But I don't know if he ever was... had that superstar factor because he wasn't around long enough.
All right. You think it's too easy?
Feels a little convenient.
All right. Then I will take David Johnson out and have him earn his way back in. Well, what are my other options? Zero-sum game.
Gurley's too on the nose, but sometimes on the nose is the right choice.
You would take Gurley out before David Johnson at this stage?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think he's going to get the...
Wes, what do you think?
I think he's going to get fewer touches, and superstars get touches.
The Cardinals' offense has to prove it to me.
Yeah. I mean, last year was a total disaster. All right, let's move on. You guys made me think. When I'm sitting down at Starbucks after this show and I'm cranking out copy, I got something to think about. Wide receiver. All right, more controversy here. All right, first, this one I feel good about.
You did a great job with this last year. You put in who? Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas.
Nailed it.
And I put in Devontae Adams.
Nailed it.
And
took out two of the top three guys.
Jordy and Dez. I mean, that is a beautiful
Both
double.
Out of the league.
Nice work.
All right. So there's a lot of pressure on this. It's not going to be that easy this year. It's going to be tougher. Juju Smith-Schuster is going into the superstar club. I don't need to give you a lot of background here. You get it.
Adam Thielen. I think if you're looking for sizzle, Juju's
Dan
probably
stopped
the guy.
In his track. Juju feels like the right answer. I was trying to think of my own ones, and Juju was my number one.
Thielen is a tremendous player. He slowed down in the second half last year with injuries. I just think Juju's ceiling is a little bit higher. Somehow he's just 22 years old.
Well, he's also going to get fed targets like crazy this year.
I think the intangibles matter a little bit, and Juju's got those.
He's
over
got the juice
Adam
too.
Thielen.
He's got some charisma that I really like. I like Smith-Schuster.
He's got some cachet
as a personality, and that's
you know
why
who also has a lot of like cachet and
who's that?
Tom Brady.
Let's go. Now we could put in two wide receivers, by the way, too. So we can Thielen. We could discuss that, but I like Smith-Schuster. You can't get targeted much more than he was last year, but I think you're going to see his red zone usage go way up and become basically put up something close to Antonio Brown numbers this year. That's what I expect that from Smith-Schuster, and that to me is a superstar. Now I got to take somebody out. This one really hurts because I love him. We just talked about him on our last show, Wes. AJ Green, I'm going to take out of the superstar club, and I'll tell you why. It's been a while now. Injuries have really started to take their toll on Green. He's entering his age 31 season, but he's been missing games. He's missed at least three games, three of the past five seasons. He had toe issues. He had surgery this offseason. And he's, you know, let's face it, his quarterback is the ultimate, you know, middle-of-the-road passer. He is the Dalton scale. Andy Dalton, new offense, maybe under a new staff and a fresh start, that offense clicks. But I guess I got to see A.J. Green be A.J. Green again for 16 games. And I'm willing to say that Juju Smith-Schuster is a better bet going forward than A.J. Green in 2019.
I was shocked at first, but after looking at his numbers the last 3 years, this is fair. He doesn't even have an 1,100-yard season in any of the last 3 years.
You can't stay on the field.
He missed a lot of time in 2016, 2018. 2017 is his last full season, and Dalton was healthy that whole season too, and he didn't crack 1,100 yards, which is pretty shocking. The injuries is one reason I thought he might have been available this year before the draft, but I think the Bengals were smart to keep him. They have a hard enough time getting superstars, and I still think he is a superstar and should be fine.
I get it, but his last true bonkers superstar year, you could say 2015, 86, 12, 97, 15 yards a reception, 10 touchdowns. 2013, 98 for 14, 26, 11 TDs. Is that guy gone? I think it's possible.
It's fair to point out that the two best seasons of his career were his second and third seasons, and we're now getting pretty far away from that.
That is fair.
He's entering his ninth season.
Could Time come flies. Back to haunt you, though, with the new coach.
I get that, and that's part of the game with the superstar
club.
Yeah,
it's got to be risky.
All right, a couple more.
Sneaky 31, A.J. Green.
All right, so this one I'm going to need your help with because George Kittle's got to go into the superstar club for me.
He's in.
As a tight end. You know, I didn't realize this. His 1,377 yards last year, that's an all-time record. No tight end.
Yeah.
Not Jimmy Graham, not Gronk. Not Shannon Sharp. No
and
one has ever put up that much.
He did it with second and third string
Hammond-eggers.
Hammond-egg curtain jerkers.
He had almost averaged 10 yards per catch. He was targeted 136 times, 88 catches. a beast. We met him. We interviewed him. He sat in on the show in January. He's basically a professional wrestler.
He's got charisma.
He's got charisma for days. It's oozing out of him. Gross. 25 years old. This is the time for George Kittle. And if Jimmy G is Jimmy G that we think he can be, Kittle's going to be a household name potentially. Somebody's got to go. Now, I wanted to throw out Jimmy Graham, but guess what? I went through the archives. I threw out Jimmy Graham in 2015. And I nailed that.
You nailed it.
So you got to pick somebody else.
You can't choose Gronk, right? That's, I guess, a cop-out.
I can.
Can you?
But that's cheating, because what am I going to... But I also think Gronk's playing this year.
Who did you come up with before this? Before Gronk was
It's
suggested.
Tough. I mean, I had Graham, and then I did some research, and I was like, oh, I can't kick him out twice.
Conspiracy Greg Olson, theory is really helping.
You also bet against him sandwich-wise before last season.
I've been on the end of the Jimmy Graham era. Greg Olson, but was Greg Olson ever a superstar? I might have to take Gronk out just because I don't have a real option otherwise. But Gronk's playing this year, by the way.
I mean, you can't take Kelsey out. I don't know if Zach Ertz is on that list, but you can't take him out.
Yeah. And that's it. Who else would be in?
Chris Herndon.
OJ Howard would be a candidate, and maybe Evan Engram next year.
To jump up.
Potentially. Yeah.
Or Hunter Henry, I was thinking about.
I thought Howard played like a Pro Bowler last year until he went down with that injury.
But taking out was just not enough. I mean, Antonio Gates has been out.
He gone.
He's not even in the league.
David Njoku says he wants 20 touchdowns this year, but I'd have to see that first.
I mean, can he catch?
We'll find that out. Yeah, so I'll just take out Gronk just for housekeeping purposes.
Was Jordan Reed ever in there? You could kick him out.
he tore his hamstring listening to this podcast.
Is that Tyler Eifert?
Defense, not as fun, but I do have I'm going to put Myles Garrett in there.
That could be like one of the NFL slogans.
Defense, not as fun.
We're into offense now.
So edge rushers, that position group, Myles Garrett looks like every bit the superstar the Browns thought they were getting. And now with more help along that defensive line of Sheldon Richardson, Olivier Vernon, this could be the year that Garrett, 18 sacks, something like that, and total game record both sides of the ball.
He's been great, and he gets like the PFF love, and you watch him, and he's definitely a great player. I think there's another level he can go.
Yeah,
to your point,
right,
where he can have a Von Miller in his prime type of season. We haven't seen that.
It's what Jadeveon Clowney never has quite done.
Right,
hit that next tier. I think Garrett perhaps is the guy now that you think could do it. Got to take somebody out. I'll take a guy that just changed teams. He went to Wes's favorite team, Justin Houston, one of the great pass rushers of the last decade. Getting a little up there. Maybe won't be on the field quite as much. Still gets about 10 sacks a season, but after a nice run in a superstar club, Justin Houston will step into a lesser spotlight.
I was wondering if you were going to fudge Ndamukong Suh's position a little bit and use him as the guy who's bounced.
I thought about maybe taking Clowney out. If he's in there.
I don't know
there.
If he ever got there.
Wasn't last year one of his best seasons?
Yeah, but he's someone where, he's going to skip training camp, it sounds like. And is he a guy that you trust to be healthy and go to that next level? I think we know who he is, which is a really, really good player, really strong against the run. Not like the most dynamic pass rusher. Not the level of like the Hall of Fame type players. I mean, that's such a high level to compare him to, but I don't know if he's at that level.
A little bit of a victim of the hype. I don't remember a defensive player that came in with as much. He was the next LT. And, the highlights of the ripping the ball, destroying that running back in the backfield. He was supposed to be a man amongst boys, and he's been great, but I don't think he's hit that superstar level.
Been a really good number one overall pick, I think better than an average number one overall pick. But I'd kind of be surprised if he...
He's trying to get paid right now. He can't get paid.
I kind of would be surprised if he stays with the Texans. I feel like he's going to get paid somewhere else.
Interesting.
Is he the new Mario Williams? Is that what's happening here?
Different.
All right. One more position group.
I give Clowney a little more.
There are people who thought Clowney was an all-pro last year.
Yeah, I think he's been borderline. He's been a Pro Bowl, borderline Pro Bowl type. I wouldn't go quite all-pro the last 2 years.
Just
he's been solid.
He's one of the few defensive ends who can play just about anywhere on the line. He can drop into linebacker. He can do anything.
Finally, Jamal Adams.
I knew this was coming, and I endorse it.
my boy, Jamal Adams, and when he gets the Brian Baldinger, Baldy seal of approval, if you watch one of Baldy's videos, that he is a special talent, a potentially transcendent type safety. Best Jets defender since Peak Revis. I think this in year three, again, year three is the big one. Year three is if you are a superstar type player, that's when you are a bang. You're smack in the middle of your prime. There's no more ramp up. You show a lot of signs as a rookie. You progress as a second year player, and then bang, this is the year where you're a game changer. I think Adams could be that guy. I got to take somebody out. I know there are different types of safeties. I was going to throw out a guy that got overpaid by an AFC superpower. Great player, reestablishes value, but has had injury issues. Is Honey Badger still a superstar?
That's a good question. I don't think he's played
a superstar.
He hasn't played at a superstar level since his second torn ACL.
Is it cruel to take him out of the superstar club? Because he just got paid like a superstar. So the Chiefs.
Well, and he's another year removed from that ACL. That's when he had his best season, once he was 2 years removed from the last one, for what it's worth. And they're counting on him. I don't know who your other options would be. The only concern with Jamal Adams is he didn't take a step forward, I don't think, in his second year.
What?
I don't know if it was a better season. PFF, for what it's worth, had him graded lower.
Jamal Adams from the Jets?
Are you sure about that?
He was their highest graded safety, yeah. I think.
Maybe I'm thinking like midway through the season. The bigger concern I'd have, it's a new defense, and we'll see what Greg Williams does, is that the cornerbacks are so bad. And sometimes like that affects you as a safety. If you're having to change your responsibilities, is he going to get to make as many splash plays if they have one of the worst cornerback groups in the league? That'd be a small concern, that the defense as a whole.
It's a major. It's the biggest concern on the Jets is their cornerback. So that's fair. For what it's worth, he was ranked number four.
My bad.
Behind Eddie Jackson, Earl Thomas, who barely played, Tracy Walker.
Who barely played.
So
this
is one of the top safeties in the league last
year. This one's a no-brainer. He's got the leadership. He's an alpha dog. He is, you know, in his third year in the league, like, he is the face of the franchise, and he has that marquee value, and he's a good player. But I think if you're talking Honey Badger, he has no business being in there over Derwin James, Kevin Byard, Eddie Jackson.
Is Eric Weddle a superstar safety?
No, he's not when you get released.
Yeah, I was thinking of the first half of the season, Adams was a little quiet, but I think one of the reasons why he makes sense in the superstar club is he wants to be a superstar.
Yeah,
he loves
and he does it well, and he doesn't do it in a way that's off-putting. And anyway, it's great. We need personalities, and he wants that attention, and he backs it up.
What happened with the mascot, the Patriots mascot that he speared? Was there talk of a lawsuit or something?
Wasn't there at the time?
Yeah, wasn't there any follow-up on that?
Yeah, he's since passed away.
Hey, everybody gets their number called eventually. Our thoughts and prayers. All right, that's what I got for the Superstar Club. Anybody else come to mind?
Yes, this is a position you normally wouldn't go to.
Yep.
But talk about a name brand offensive lineman.
Okay, this would be good for my content for the copy. I might just steal this from you. Go ahead, Wes.
Quentin Nelson, put him in the Superstar Club. There you go.
A superstar
Ricky's got
goal,
it.
A guard. I like that. All right.
Plus, like, if when you're talking football, if you're at all, you know, insecure about, like, oh, do they really trust me as a football head? You just start talking about interior offensive linemen.
This guy's a road grader.
It makes you sound smart.
Road grader is always a good one.
All right, so I got to take a fading road grader out. You got a guard to throw at me?
It's offensive. Can we just say any offensive lineman?
No, I need that cred, so you got to give me somebody.
Zach Martin.
No, Zach Martin's too good. What about Marshall Yanda?
I like that, though.
Yeah, Yanda.
All right, I like this. Marshall Yanda.
He gone.
Is a superstar?
I mean,
He's a borderline Hall of Famer.
He's been paid like one and has the all pros of a superstar.
The hell am I going to write about this?
He hasn't
Yanda
been,
slipped last year.
As a bit as dominant.
He's been dealing with injuries.
I'll tell you, they struggled in that Chargers game including Marshall Yanda. I was just watching that for a little Lamar Jackson.
I spent the last 12 hours cutting an offensive line deep dive.
Oh, I was wondering where this was coming from.
Yeah, so I...
Yeah, because you had never heard of Quentin Nelson until this, right?
The one that really got me is Zach Martin as the guy that would exit the club. Wow, that one...
Flew too close to the sun.
Yeah, I'm really, really well versed. I can send you the link if you need it for your write up.
And I could maybe embed it in the content.
No, don't do that.
Okay.
Just like put someone that's like been retired for 6 years, like Jari Evans, and see if anyone notices.
What about a linebacker? Greg, can you throw out a linebacker for me? Something.
A linebacker.
Yeah, Leighton Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith.
Ooh.
I got to take out two linebackers. Somebody from this. Is there a linebacker tandem on another team that I could move out?
I mean, I wouldn't take Bobby Wagner out, so that ruins that.
You can take Thomas Davis out, but you can't take Luke Kuechly out.
Right.
Can't do it.
That's a tough one.
All right.
I'll get back to you off. Let's offline this conversation.
Close up the kimono, Wes. All right.
Maybe just make it pick one of those two guys, Van Der Esch or Jalen Smith.
Who'd you pick between those two?
You know what? At the end of the year, I thought Jalen Smith was playing every bit as good as Van Der Esch. And when we interviewed him at the Super Bowl, talk about a guy who's oozing charisma.
That's a good point.
He was one of the most impressive athletes I've ever sat down and talked.
No,
Jalen
Smith.
Yeah,
we spoke to Jalen. Right?
He was so cool.
He seems like a leader and a fun guy to
root
for.
He's an impressive human
being. Van Der Esch, though, was a rookie and was sensational.
Yeah.
But maybe a little bit more of a Garrett guy.
And who would we knock out? A Garrett guy. Cannot slander anyone any worse.
Mm. Does Terrell Suggs count?
He Suggs.
I'm always down to, you know, get that guy, drag him a little bit.
Drag him.
I think he counts if he was still there.
More accurate.
Sure.
Right. T-Sizzle.
Okay. They're boarding up Ball So Hard University. That's it for today's show. So here's the schedule. Back on Monday, right, Ricky?
Mm-hmm.
Greg, are we going to do some Making the Leap?
No, I'm gone, remember? I mean, you could do that in August anytime.
We'll do that. We'll do some Making the Leap when Greg gets back from Massachusetts. But Mark might be back, Greg? Wes?
He said he was. He texted us. He let us all know.
I feel like I've only heard from Mark like one time in the last month.
He's here. He's in Los Angeles, we're told.
This is definitely
but he's off the grid.
This is the longest Mark and I have gone without really communicating since I've moved to LA.
He is off the grid. There's more to the story here, Greg. You've been way out.
I've been gone. Well, Mark, yeah, we don't communicate that much anyway, so it doesn't seem like that big of a change.
He's watching like three movies per night.
You're right, though. Our group text is a lot quieter.
Where are the updates? Where are the texts? Where are the tweets? The Instagram about the movies, the double features?
He's.
I think he's gone. I think he's history.
Dad tried to build some tension before our season 7, premiere or whatever you want to call it. Will Mark be back?
The man took a power.
Or will he be replaced by?
Would you be stunned? Would you be stunned? I know your answer, Greg. Obviously. Diffuser of tension and fun. Wes, would you be stunned if Mark's not here on Monday?
I thought you were going to say if he doesn't show up again. I would not be stunned if he's not here on Monday.
Erica?
I don't think he's coming.
Wow.
How long do we wait before we begin the search for a new fourth?
You got to give him till the season starts.
We give him till week one?
Yeah.
Out of respect.
Yeah, I think so.
Anybody else, we'd be looking Wednesday.
Yeah.
Start a training camp.
But Mark's, part of the fabric of the show. Out of respect, we wait until early September.
I think Thursday before the season. You guys can't do your flagship show with three.
That's true.
So you need to have that in place like a couple days before.
Maybe do a contest.
Yeah.
Have people bring them in for auditions, sit in the Mark chair.
Yeah.
All right.
Is this like a Goodwill Hunting situation, though, that like...
Mark works as a custodian somewhere now?
If Mark didn't come back, just to entertain your thought.
Yes. Not rooting for this, by the way, but just we have to come into this with open eyes.
Wouldn't it, in this situation, we would sort of be like Ben Affleck and he would be Matt Damon, and the best part of our day is that 10 seconds we get to work that day and we wonder, is Mark going to come or not? Or is he going to go do whatever he's meant to do in the world? If this isn't it, if he wants to pursue something else, you know what I mean?
He has,
I know exactly what you're saying.
He has often talked about working at a CVS in Omaha, Nebraska.
Could be there right now. So tune in Monday.
No goodbye. No see you later. Nothing. Just gets to the door.
But that's what Affleck wanted. He didn't want any of that.
Right.
Yeah. I would want that too. I would want that too, honestly. If that's how this is going down.
Some birds aren't meant to be caged.
All right. Now we're crisscrossing our iconic 90s movies.
What's that one from?
That's Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Let's go. Stan Hans is signing off for The Mailman and the Old Boss. Ricky Hollywood behind, well, right in front of me, actually. Orphans we are. Till Monday!